All right, guys, we get a Lumnish topic this time. We're not just filling in for the topics you skipped because they were boring, but then we made them as exciting as we could. This time, we're going to do something which hopefully you already covered in the end, or at least a lot of you did, and we'll try to spice it up as much as we can. I might have a different perspective than how your band might have presented it, probably because I'm wrong, but hopefully you guys will show me why I'm wrong. And if not, then you'll get a good chazara. But I'm sure, just based off the sources that I saw on your Maromakomos, they're different than some of mine, and I think that will likely lead to different results. All right, so the Gemara we're going to start off with is on Beis Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara says, we wanted to know, Minahani Mili, right? We have a focus in our Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph and Masechet Sukkah as to what the reason is, the machlokes in the Mishnah is whether a Sukkah with Schach over 20 Amos tall is kosher or pasul. So the Chum says it's Sula, or Yehuda says it's kosher. So now the Gemara wants to know what the source is for the Chum saying that it's pasul. The Gemara gives three options. We're going to focus tonight. The topic of this chabur is going to be Sholta Ba'ena in general and Rabba's opinion. So the Gemara says Minan Amili. The first opinion of the Gemara is Amar Rabba. Damar Kra. The pasuk tells us Laman Yidu Dor Sechem Ki Besukos Shavti Es Bnei Yisrael. As you should know in the future that I sat you in these booths right now, whether they're tents or actual booths. So Adas from Amma Adam Yodeya Shehu Dar B'Sukkah up until 20 Amos, the person is cognizant of the fact. Then he's dwelling in the sukkah. The Malam answer Rama above 20 Amos ain't Adam Yodeya Shadar B'Sukkah. Why not? Mishum Delo Shalta Ba'ena. Because his eye literally does not rule over it. Okay? So, here's how the framework of this chabur is going to go tonight, guys. I'm going to set up three very basic questions that you should, like, that are just obvious. They're not like my questions. They're like the Gemara's questions, basically. But I want those to be the focus of this year, as we're going to walk through different perspectives on solving those questions. A lot of Ian's going to come out, and then hopefully we'll get to overturn everything by trying to solve them in a different fashion. You ready? So question number one is, what does Sholta Ba'ena literally mean? Okay, what I'll call A. Sholta Ba'ena. What does it mean? That your eye can't rule over it. Okay, so that's going to be question one. It's obvious. It's not like, you know, a deep question. The Gemara says, Sholta Ba'ena. What does that mean? Yishum Jalo Sholta Ba'ena. What does that mean? Okay, just simple translation. And like in terms of actual terms, not just the literal translation of what it means that your eye doesn't rule over it. Okay, let's turn over to Beis Amud Beis. So before we come back to the answer to that question. So Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara now says, after outlining three different shitos, right, as to why some of them say that's like puzzle. So the Gemara gives us now a few statements in the name of Rav, where it will now try to align those statements with different opinions that we've already brought. So the first one is brought in the name of Rav Yoshi. So, come on, Azla, like who does it go? Hada Amar Rav Yoshi Amar Rav Machlokas B'she'ein Defanos Magios L'Slach. Where is the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chacham limited to? That's when the walls do not reach the Slach. Av Defanos Magios L'Slach. But if the walls were to reach the Slach, then Afilu L'Mal Me'Asher Ma'amak Shera. Then even the Chum would admit, they wouldn't argue, they would say, yes, indeed, such a sukkah is valid. Great. So, who's that going like? Come on, like whom? Ki Rabba, like Rabba, the first one we brought, the one we just alluded to. To Amar Mishum, Delo Shalta Ba'ena. Since he says the reason is because your eye does not rule over. Since the walls reach the Slach, so now here, there's no longer an issue of Lo Shalta Ba'ena. At this point, when the walls reach the Slach, apparently the problem is solved. Rabba would say, the Chum would say, such a sukkah is valid. Great. That's the first in the Gemara. We align Rav Yoshia with Rava. Question number two. B. What are we dealing with here? Why do the walls help? Number one is just simply, what does it mean that Lo Shalta Ba'ena? Number two is, how do the walls reaching the Slach solve whatever that issue is? Okay, that's an obvious question. The Gemara says it solves it. How? In what fashion? We have to understand what Shalta Ba'ena means. We have to understand how walls reaching the Slach is going to solve that. And now, number three. The Gemara then continues with another statement in the name of Rav. Come on, Allah Adama Rav Huna Amarav, right? This one in the name of Rav Huna, Rashi says, don't worry, it's different Amaram in the name of Rav, so they had different traditions, it's not a problem, it's not a steer in Rav. So what does Rav Huna say? Machlokas b'she'ein ba el arba amos al arba amos. Where do we have the machlokas between the Chum and Rebbe Yehuda? That is merely in a specific case of when it's a smallish sukkah, 4 amos by 4 amos, and up until below, Zion by Zion, as we'll see later in the Gemara. Abel Yesh, but Yoser may Abramos, Abramos, if it has longer than its width and length, being 4 by 4 merely, but rather greater than that. Afilu Lamal, Master Amak Shera. There, the Chum would admit it's a wider sukkah, longer sukkah, than that is a valid sukkah, even though the sukkah is above 20. Who's that like? The Gemara says, come on, Krebi Zera. It's like Krebi Zera. To Amar Mishum Selhu, Bekaven der Ravicha, Ikat Sel Sukkah. Right, so the Gemara says, don't worry, it works out to Rav Zera. Rav Zera on the previous Amad had told us the reason why it's puzzle over 20 is because it doesn't have shade from the sukkah. only has shade from the walls. Therefore, here, when you make it wider, there will be some shade coming from the stuff. Great. The Gemara assumes that Rav Huna aligns only with Rav Zeira. Correct? The Gemara says, oh, Rav Huna is like Rav Zeira. Come on, like Rav Zeira. Rashi jumps in here and covers. Clearly, he's not like the other opinions, right? So Rashi says, Toso says, and he's not like Rava or Rava. So I understand why he's not like Rava, right? It's clear why Rav Huna can't be like Rava. It's clear why he could be like Rav Zeira. It's clear why he can't be like Rava. Rava holds the whole idea is to build it in a way which it is Arai, not Keva. If anything, like, I mean, certainly not helping, but if anything, it makes it worse when you have a bigger sukkah. The wider the sukkah is, certainly the more Keva it would be. So it's clear why this doesn't align with Rava. But why doesn't it align with Rava? And that's question C, the third question I want us to ask, right? When the Gemara says Rav Huna, it takes it as a devar pashut. It's granted, right, that Rav Huna can't align with Rava. Well, why not? Rashi says, don't worry, it doesn't. Tosafot says, don't worry, it doesn't. But why not? Why doesn't it align? After all, think about it. Things that are very, very wide, the farther away something is from me, then the more easily I'm able to see it at a lower point of my vision. After all, when I'm walking in the street, I can see the horizon in front of me. I can see the sky. The sky is very, 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 very high. It's not I can see it because it's a dome. I can see it because even though it's so high up, it's so far away that my eye is able to see it. So question A that we have to address just simply is, what does Shulta Ba'ina mean? B is, how is that solved, whatever that problem is, how is it solved by the walls reaching the stuff? And C is, how is it not solved by a sukkah being very, very wide? Okay, all very simple. These are questions that should have obviously occurred to us just by reading the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean? Just have to translate it. But a little more than translate it conceptually. What is going on in the Gemara? Let's turn back to question A, okay? What does Shulta Ba'ina actually mean? So let me just at least mention something which is out there in the world and it should be known. There's this famous Bach. You might have heard of the Bach, right? He's one of the important Perushim on the Torah, well, the Torah, right? And he has this very unique Shita that in order for you to be Yotzei, and you should remember this because Amir Tashem, we're, right, you know, Sukkot is right around the corner. As we're approaching Sukkot, you should remember this because you want to be Chosesh, at least for the Shita of the Bach. In order to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Sukkah, you have to be aware of the miracle. You have to remember that the reason why you're sitting in the sukkah, even if mitzvahs generally don't require kavanah, for this unique mitzvah, you have to. Why? Gzeiras HaKasuv. The pasuk tells us, L'man Yedu Doroseita. You have to know. If you don't know, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. He has another example. Another example. Anybody think of it? What's another example? Something you have to be cognizant of?
Tzitzis.
Very good. L'man Tizkaru. Right? You have to remember. And if you don't remember, fundamentally, built into the mitzvah, if you don't remember why you're wearing tzitzis, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. It's a unique, radical shita of the Bach. Where I'm not talking about Rishonim. I'm just telling you, the Bach says this at least explicitly. Okay, who he's coming off of and what his bases are, we don't need to get into right now. I just want to mention the Bach. The Bach says in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, therefore, l'man yedu, you have to actually know. So when we sit in the sukkah, we should be aware of the fact of why we're sitting in the sukkah, to remember the great miracle that Hashem had done for us, either keeping us alive in the worst of conditions, or even greater with all those anane hakavu. Wonderful. That's the Bach. Is that what Rava means? Probably not, right? As Rashi explains for us, what does Rava mean, the shear of the sukkah? So what does Rava mean that when the stock is over 20 amos tall, it's puzzle from the pasuk of l'man yedu? Not that you need to constantly be in awareness of the fact that you're sitting in the sukkah in order to have the mitzvah fulfilled. He means that, as Rashi tells us, it has to be built in such a fashion so that one who were to enter the sukkah would be aware of that fact. But like whether or not you're spacing out as you walk into the sukkah or not isn't important, right? What is important is that it's built in a fashion where you would be able to recognize it, okay? So just mentioning that Bach and showing that's not what Rava is saying. That's not what we're doing here. So now, question A. What does lo shalta ba'ena mean? Why is that a problem? Literally, what does it mean? So now there's actually tons of formulations in the Rishonim, different ways that each one of them presents this. I think for the most part, though, there's two perspectives. Okay? Some of them, for example, you know, I'll quote you names and like the distinctions, and you'll tell me if you think they're different. I don't think they're so different. Right? The Shitas Rivav, who was the nephew of the Baal Ma'or, he's on the side of the Rif in Masechta Sukkah. So the Rivav says, because you don't constantly, consistently tumid, you're not actually looking at the stuff. I think that's one perspective. That you have to be fully, always able to see the stuff. If it's not constantly in your range of vision, then this isn't a good sucker. On the other hand, and this is where we have lots of different formulations, which are all very, very similar in my mind, you have the Sefer HaMechtam, who says you won't immediately notice it. You have the Ra'ah and the Me'iri, who says it's not common for you to look up and notice it. The Me'iri also has another formulation where you can't see it without tilting your head backwards. Right? Rashi and Kisvayad also has that same formulation. Like, you won't notice it unless you tilt your head backwards. So all these formulations all pretty much are saying the same thing. Lo shel to the ain is basically that you won't see it immediately, or easily, or without doing something weird. But I think that that's very different than the Rivav. So to cut it into two camps, is it that it has to be, in his words, l'fisha ro'at tamid es ha'sach, that you have to constantly see the sach, or is it that you have to immediately be aware of it, you immediately see it, like it's the first thing you notice, but now that you have to constantly be able to see it. It's a slight distinction in the formulation, one that you have to always be able to see it, one of them that you will immediately see it, but not that you have to always be able to see it from every perspective, in a constant, consistent fashion. It's a slight distinction, although I wouldn't make too much of it. Like, if you wanted to try to fetch out, you know, a nafkamina to distinguish between these two, like, let's say you can only see it in the beginning, but you can see it afterwards. Like, an only part of it, only the first thing you notice is that, it's that, but it's not like if you walk in beyond that point, or you descend into your sukkah, you won't notice it. Like, will that change things up? So that might be a nafkamina, but I don't want to focus too much on that. This simple meaning, basically, all the Rishonim in one way, shape, or form, all explained, lo shel t'vayin, is that it's not immediately apparent. Okay, you just don't notice it right away. Because things beyond 20 amos in your height, you're not focused on. You just don't see it. You're looking forward. And even if you're looking forward, you know, with your head held, you know, straight, you'll see things up to 20 amos. But, like, to look up, that's not common. That's not likely. And therefore, it won't fulfill the requirement of having been built in a fashion which would suffice for Laman Yehudu. So Rabbah says it's not good. All the Rishonim pretty much have the same sort of formulation here, although they're slightly different. I don't think there's anything significant about it. But now let's turn to B. And I think here's where we're going to start finding a little bit more of a variation. Question B. We saw on Amud Beis that the Gemara aligned Rabbi Yoshia, saying that the machlokas is only when the walls don't reach the stach, but if they reach the stach, then the Chum would agree. Therefore, being like Rabbah, because it resolves the issue of Shel Tova'ena. Whatever that problem of Shel Tova'ena was, which we just talked about, you won't immediately be aware of the slach as soon as you walk into the sukkah. So that problem will be solved by the fact that there are walls. So question B was how? How does Shel Tova'ena help this out? So there's one general perspective, and that's Rashi. Some refer to this as Tosfos, the Ran says this, the Me'iri says this. We'll call it Rashi's camp. And that is, as I'm sure you guys have read Rashi at least, you saw that Rashi says, you'll follow your eyes up. The way Rashi praises it, Mishlat Shalta Ba'ena, Derech Tefanos. You'll go up the way of the wall. You'll follow it up. And the idea being that when something is connected by a wall, your eyes will naturally look up. And almost as if you're walking in New York City, you pass by the Empire State Building, you lean back, you're like, wow, that is tall. So similarly, as long as the walls go all the way up to the slach, your eyes naturally wander up to the edge of the wall. Apparently, this is true. And you will reach the slach. That's Rashi and friends, Ron, Meiri, Tosos. That's their shita, that your eyes will wander up the wall. Now, the Ritva, coming off its Rebbe, the Ra'ah, as well as the Rivavan, who's brought in the one that Herschler put out, the Ginzei Rishonim. It's four Rishonim there. One of them is the Rivavan. So, the Ra'ah, I'm going to call it the Ra'ah's school. We've got Rashi on one side, and we have the Ra on the other side. The Ra doesn't understand that way. And the Ritva explains why. That's ridiculous. Do your eyes just naturally wander up walls? Is that true? I think over here in Torah Trag, we have a wonderful example. You walk into the coffee room, and it's a nice little narrow space where the walls do reach the ceiling. You watch up there. But who noticed until we started Sugya of Shel Tova'ena that ceiling is like 20 feet tall? Okay, Yosef noticed.
Did you hear that from one of us?
No. Somebody else mentioned that, and I realized. Rafi gets credit. Okay, for the record, Rafi gets credit. So, now, I walked in there, and I was like, wow, I never noticed how high the ceilings were. So what's the problem with this shot? What's the problem? The Ritva, Ravun are like, are you kidding me? My eyes just naturally wander up things? What do you think? That doesn't make any sense. It's a nice idea, and you know what? It might fit well with the words of the Gemara, because the Gemara says, oh, don't worry, you solve Shel Tova'ena when you have walls reaching the stach. But it's not true. In Mitzias, problem with Macias. It just doesn't make sense. Before we turn to understand what their pshat is, and to deal with some issues which come out of their pshat, let's turn back to Rashi, Tosfos, and friends.
How do they answer it?
First, we'll deal with how they answer it. I think the proper way to defend them is using the Rivan and bringing them over to Rashi and Tosfos' side. The Rivan says, when the walls reach the schach, Jacob, what happens? You recognize that you're in a confined area. I mean, you're sitting in a box. If you had a nice, you know, like, open breeze over there, then, like, you wouldn't ever think to look up. Here, you're like, well, I'm in a box, right? Like, I'm in this thing. The walls just don't end. They're just going up and up and up and up and up. So different than the Empire State Building, where, like, you might not necessarily look all the way up. Here, since you're in this box, you're in a confined little area, you're going to look up and you're going to follow your eyes up. So you can explain that it's not just a general thing about, like, oh, you automatically look up walls. Every time you walk past a wall, you look up. That's not true. But if you're sitting in a walled area, then you will naturally follow it up. So I think that's how, using the Rivavan, you can use it to explain what would be going on in Rashi's camp. But there's a new question which is going to arise, which I want to address here, okay?
What's the other reason, like, the Ritva?
I'll get back to the Ra and Ritva in a moment. Well, I'll explain what they explain. Okay, but right now we're still working in one approach to deal with question B. How do the walls solve it? Because your eyes wander up. How does that make any sense? Well, use the Rivavan. When you're close into an area, your eyes will naturally follow up the wall. You just have to figure out where you are, and you'll see the stuff. Great. Now, a new question arises, though, on this general mahalach. If it's true that your eyes automatically wander up walls in order to see things that are on top of them, oh yeah? Well, then how come there's no such heter by Mavoi? How come there's no such heter by Ner Chanukah? That as long as the wall goes all the way up, then I can have it over 20 amos. The Gemara never discusses that by Mavoi. This is a unique local discussion by Sukkah. Tosfos asked this question, as Alec pointed out, and many other Rishonim do. So we have two different ways of breaking this up. And one way is that, you know what? In Al-Khanami, it does work there. It would work by Mavoi. A Chiddush Din, that as long as you have walls reaching the Mavoi, it does work. And it's a valid Mavoi, even if it's over 20 amos tall. It's a valid Korah in the Mavoi, even if it's over 20 amos tall. And same thing with Ner Chanukah. The Rashba says this in Irvin. The Rashba says that as long as it's as wide as a Sukkah Schach would generally be, which is 7 Tefachim by 7 Tefachim, as long as the Korah, or the menorah, I guess, that you're using, is 7 Tefachim by 7 Tefachim, then indeed, we assume that the walls going all the way up will cause your eyes to wander up, and you'll notice it. Because as you look up there, you'll, like, notice this large thing up there, the same way you would by the Schach. So that's the Rashba's opinion. I think Tosfos would agree to that, too. Tosfos here asks the question, and he says, no, there's a distinction. A Korah of a Mavoi is very, very thin, so you don't notice it once you're looking up. As opposed to the Schach, which is wider, you will notice it. And same thing with the menorah. Those are thin. You wouldn't notice it when you're looking up. So I agree. I assume Tosfos would agree to the Rashba. But if it were wider, if it were 7 Tefachim by 7 Tefachim, just like a Sukkah Schach would generally be, so then indeed, that would be a valid Korah. It would be a valid menorah. Yeah, Alex, go for it.
So Chanukah, near Chanukah is different because, like, it's also just not allowed to be there according to some shitas.
Why can't I know? Because you won't notice it. That's the idea. Same as a sukkah.
Even, oh,
the reason is because you won't notice it.
According to both opinions, lighting it and just being there.
And, whether you're saying halakha osa mitzvah or halakha osa mitzvah? Yeah, either way, that's in terms of actually putting it there, placing it there. But in terms of how, where it can be placed, it has to be within 20 amos from the ground. Okay. Question? Go for it, Alex. If your Chanuk menorah was on the top of a wall that was over 20 amos tall, apparently your eyes would wander up. You're saying I can't use the... You're right, so you can't use the Rivavan's defense and explain, oh, it's when you're in a confined area. You're right. It's a question of Metzias. Taking Rashi and Ron and Meiri and Tosos as assuming that indeed your eyes follow up walls, I don't buy it, but let's say we work with Amitsias, then indeed it makes sense that it would apply there as well. Okay, let's talk about other answers to this question before we get to more questions. So another way to say is that no, it's totally different there. It's totally different there.
Another answer
to explain why by Mavoi and by Ner Chanukah there's no ability to just say, oh, the walls will reach it and therefore it's good. So the other way to look at things is that no, it's totally different between Sukkah and there. The Meiri brings a fascinating answer, which he rejects. But he says the distinction is in whether you're sitting or you're walking. When you're in a sukkah, you're sitting. You know, you're just lounging. So you look around. So naturally, your eyes will follow the walls up. Naturally, your eyes will follow the walls up. Eventually, you're going to look up, and then you'll see the stuff. As opposed to when you're walking in a mavoi, you don't look up because you're busy. You're walking. And similarly, when you're walking past an Erech Hanukkah, which is over 20 miles tall, you're not going to follow it up the walls. That's like Alex one. You're not going to notice it because you're busy. You're walking. As opposed to when you're saying, the Meiri rejects this stuff. It's a suggested answer. Maybe some Rishonim said it, but the Meiri doesn't like it. Instead, the Meiri gives a different answer, which is very fascinating. That one was fascinating. This one's very fascinating. The Meiri says, you know what the difference is between Sukkah and an Erech Hanukkah / the Mavoi's Korah? Sukkah decorations. There's all these pretty things drawing your attention on the walls, on the schach. You're going to follow them up. You're like, oh, that's a cute little paper, chain, which has been there for 15 years and is all wet and gross from the rain. But, oh, you'll follow it up and you'll look, there's some grapes. That's a nice picture my kid drew. You look up and you'll follow it up the walls. You have a reason to keep looking at the walls. And you'll follow it up as high as it goes. That's what the Meiri thinks the distinction is. As opposed to by an Erech Hanukkah, you're walking past an apartment building, you're not like, oh, that's a pretty decoration. Same thing with a mavoi. You're walking in an alleyway. You're not going to notice to follow up the walls. And that's why we have this idea of your eyes following up the walls. And that might also help us in general understand why does your eye just naturally wander up the wall. It doesn't. It doesn't, according to Meiri. It just will if you have something drawing your attention upwards.
According to the Meiri, is that immediately or eventually?
It seems like it's very quickly. I mean, you're like naturally doing it. So let's assume it's as if it's immediately apparent. You know, basically somebody's leading you. Same thing with the wall. It's over 20 hours. It's not immediate, but you'll follow it up. Okay, good. So those are the basic two ways to address the question. Either in a hanami, it would work by those, or no, it won't work there since it's different.
In a hanami answer. Why are you assuming that?
Why am I assuming that? I think the Rashba says an Erevin. The Rashba and Erevin says a Mefurash. That if it's seven tefachim by seven tefachim, then that's one approach to this. That, yeah, it will work by Ner Hanukkah. It will work by Mavoi. And I think Tosfos would probably agree to that, because Tosfos' whole point is that it's just too small. But if it were bigger, then in a hanami it would work. Just to throw out something interesting, the Rav Yah quotes his Rebbe as saying, no, there's a different distinction between Hanukkah and Sukkah. And that is that Hanukkah in the days of Chazal was done where?
Outside.
So that's why it didn't work. Let me make sure I'm repeating this right. I just want to make sure I say it there. Since it was outside, there were no walls to have it followed up. Meaning they would just like have it outside, I guess like on, you know, some on top of a pole or something. So if you happen to have a ridiculous pole, I'm not even sure exactly how this would work out, right? But his point is that since it was outside, it didn't have walls, because you're talking about an outside area, so you wouldn't naturally follow it up. Let's say it's like not wide enough to be considered something that's a wall, and you wouldn't follow it up. And like therefore, it's outside. As opposed to inside, where there will be walls, which is what we would do nowadays, and you had a massive room, which was like 20 amos tall, because on top of there would be walls. So he just says there's a difference in the Metzias. The point being that he says back in their day, the reason why they never mentioned ability to have walls following up was because there, they were outside and there were no walls. If, like nowadays, it was inside, and therefore there were walls, that would solve the problem, and basically you could have walls. That's the Rabbi weird cheat. What do we do about Mavoi? Good question.
That makes sense, though, because Hanukkahs aren't bound to a wall. A Mavoi and a Sukkah both need walls.
Okay, you're right. But it would be on top of something, obviously.
Inside,
keep it.
Even inside, why doesn't it need a wall? It can be in a
right, but
room.
But he's assuming that there would be walls inside. It would be placed on like top of a wall or something. I'm not sure.
It's not the meeting point of a wall and a roof.
No, but it would be on the, let's say there was some space. You know, there was like a little, like a window area where he was placed up there. I'm not sure. Just so you should know that there's such a sheet out there. Okay, so now we've addressed one way of looking at question B, right? Why does the wall reaching the schach accomplish anything? How does that solve the issue of Shalta Be'ena? Rashi and his school say, because your eyes will wander up the wall. Okay? The Ritva and the Ra reject that. They say, what are you talking about? Your eyes don't just wander up the wall. And moreover, the Ritva thinks that Tosfos' answer is dochek. Oh, because of the Ner Hanukkah thing, you're going to say, like, oh, it's different because there it's a tefach, here it's wide. It's like, if you're looking up, you'll notice it. You'll see the tefach, right? What's the difference? Seven tefach and one tefach, you'll see it. He thinks you'll see it anyhow. So the Ritva rejects this whole school of Rashi and Tosfos, Ran, Meiri. And the Ra and the Ritva have a different shot. They say that from the overall clues, you'll notice that you're in a sukkah. There are walls. You're inside of a structure. You see that there's shade. It must be coming from something. You can add in, if you'd like, the Meiri's sukkah decorations. You know, it's pretty apparent from the fact that you're sitting in a walled structure which has shade that the walls must be leading up to some roof. So if the walls go all the way up, i.e. beyond the point where you can generally see, you can see 20 amos, let's say, right? So you can see that the walls go beyond your point of vision, and they must be holding up some roof which is supplying you with that shade, then you will realize that you are in the sukkah. Their point being, there's no such thing in Metzias that you follow walls up with your eyes. That's not true. But you do think. And if you notice your surroundings, you'll come to realize, Leman Yeju, that you are in a sukkah, which will accomplish the same purpose, even without physically seeing the stuff. What's a major distinction? I want to now highlight a difference. The conceptual difference. I've explained the actual practical difference, but now I want to highlight the conceptual difference between them. According to Rashi school, you literally have to see the schach in order to accomplish the maniyidu. You have to see the schach. Meaning you will, because your eyes will wander up, and then you will see the schach. To the ra'ah, do you have to see the schach? No. You can stand like this the entire time when you're in the sukkah, you know, covering your eyes. But you'll recognize still that you're in a sukkah, based off of all the external, the circumstantial clues, which are telling you you're in a sukkah. And therefore, it happens to fit very well with the pasuk, as well as Metzias. Rabba's point is not that you should see the schach, but rather that you should know that there's schach there. And they say that's all you need. As opposed to Rashi and friends, who don't work as well with Metzias, and don't maybe fit as neatly with the pasuk, but they think that you actually literally have to see the schach. Okay, we had a bunch of questions. Go for it. Yosef, Rabbi, and Jacob.
One thing we're saying about the ritva slash ra is that
yes.
You're seeing wall structure with shade,
yes.
So then you'll realize that you're... Because the problem,
problem is
that above 20 amos, so the shade's not coming through the roof, and the only time we say it needs to be reaching it was when it's above 20 amos.
That's a different opinion,
right? You're both right. Okay, it is a different opinion. Rafi's correct, but that is Reb Zera who's the one that says that. We're within Rabba, but Yosef's right because Reb Zera is discussing the Metzias. Exactly.
Right.
And pretty much everybody, we assume, agrees to the Metzias that the shade won't be coming from the stuff at that point.
Derpa doesn't even mention shade, though. He just says that you look
like so then that's
like
not what
Derpa
said.
The Ritva doesn't use the wording of shade. Maybe it was just the. Oh, you know what? I have them here. I brought them here for a reason. Okay. But he'll see that he's covered. What does that mean?
He's surrounded, like he has his covering.
El Ikra appears. I'll read you the language of the Ritva for those that don't have it. El Ikra appears to Avagab to hold the Malameas from Ama Ain Derefag being up in Achanami. You won't look above. Miko Makom Kevanchu Mukov Shte Machitos Kelchasan Da Arivan Rishlishes. Tefach, right, that he has their proper length, right, he's got the walls around them, two normal walls, and the third one, that's Tefach. But if Anos Magia, and the walls reach up to the Schach, but Roa Atma Mechusa, and he sees himself covered, but Ome Tachas Kiroi, and he's standing under a ceiling, how does he know that? I assumed he meant from the shade. I mean, how does he know he's under a ceiling?
But Mechusa doesn't make that many difference.
So that's a good question.
Like there's things just high around him.
Yeah, how does the walls reaching the Schach help?
How do the walls reaching the Schach help? I'm not positive. I get to the fact that I think this is a little bit dochic too, because what do the walls reaching the schach really help? Ellie's point.
According to the
Ra. Yeah, meaning somehow they're like, oh, these give you clues. I'll read you the Ra's language. One second, let me read you the Ra. The Ra says, Pierce, lo shiak bia ain of yastako mala. Not that you look up, because that's not true. Talo shiak, came in the via kuliai. It's so high up, you're not going to think to look up. Ella shi e f shir ha yoshi ba shalo yeh mesim el libo shahu ome tachas tach. It's impossible he won't realize. Came into chazi nafshe de mechsi, that he sees that he's covered. But tachas karoi hu ome, and he knows he's standing under that.
It's nothing to do with.
Yeah, maybe he'll, exactly, I guess that's the point, Josh. That, like, him seeing that there's open space in the walls, he's not going to realize that there's a ceiling.
But
apparently, the fact that there's no open thing, he'll feel like he's
structured.
Well, how is
that going to remind him of the schach as a question?
I think I'll use Josh's approach. Let's defend the raw. Okay, Josh's point is that since he sees he's in a structure, we'll assume it has a ceiling. If he sees that there's not really a structure, you know, he's like on a porch, there's a little bit of a wall, but then there's poles going up or something, or he just sees wide open space, he won't really chaff that there's a ceiling. Let's just assume
that.
For the sake of time, I want to get to the next points because the next points are going to get really exciting. The next points are now going
to
be
developed. According to that, it should be not good if the walls don't reach a schach even under 20, which you know isn't true.
No, because your eye sees it within 20. You have a vision range of 20 amos. So you'll see it any minute.
You'll see the schach?
Yeah, they do agree that it's about seeing the schach. I mean, the schach will also do it. As long as they don't have to literally see the schach, literally seeing the schach will certainly help. But you don't literally have to do it. That's the conceptual difference between them. If you want a nafkamina, for example, the Aruch Haner brings one nafkamina, which I think isn't a good nafkamina, but I'll bring it anyhow. The Aruch Haner mentions a nafkamina between the Rashi camp and the Ritva camp. He says, let's say there's only one wall which reaches the stuff. Okay, let's say one wall reaches the stuff. According to Rashi, your eyes will follow the wall up, and therefore it should be good. According to the Ritva, the Ra'ah, you won't grasp that this is like you're in a structure, again, using like Josh's terms. Like you won't realize that you're covered and surrounded by walls, that there must be a ceiling. Because there's only one wall. Maybe that's like a, you know, like a handball wall. I have no idea that there's a roof on top of me, right? So you won't have that. So the Aruch HaNer tries to use this as an option. He says, you know what? The Ritva's probably right there for. Because the Gemara says, Defunos. The Gemara doesn't say that one Dofen will reach the stuff, but it says that the walls reach the stuff, implying that all the walls need to reach the stuff. I didn't think this was a great Nafkamina, especially if you use the idea of the Rivavan to explain Rashi, right? That the reason why Rashi thinks your eyes will wander up isn't simply because, like in Metzias, your eyes will, like, wander up, but rather it's because you'll realize that you're surrounded by walls, and basically then you'll look up. And therefore, I didn't know if this was really a great Nafkamina. I'll throw out another Nafkamina just to make the point, maybe to highlight them. Let's say, for whatever reason, you build the sukkah in a fashion where you can't see the schach, but the walls reach the schach. Let's say there's like a really bright floodlight which blinds your vision beyond 20 amos, right? So your eyes won't follow the walls up to the schach. It's just way too bright. You can't see beyond that. So according to Rashi, you won't follow it up. Well, maybe in the building. So that's why I'm not giving a great example. Like, let's pretend you, for whatever, in some way, shape, or form. Let's say you put like, not kosher stuff, but one that. I can't give a great example. I don't want to give a great example. But I want to illustrate the distinction. Let's just go with my floodlight example. And noise sukkah is also going to get complicated. And I don't want to give the exact example. I just want to try to illustrate that Drashi, that wouldn't be good because you have to literally see it. Your eyes have to wander up to see the stuff. According to the Rasa, you don't have to literally see it. You have to recognize it during a sukkah. Let's turn to question C, and this is where it's going to get exciting, guys. Before I'm going to try to tear this all down and give you my own shot. Okay? Go for it, Rob.
Tell me this too, Alec. Can you say that the Ritva holds the whole Mikiya Sasathi and something with Helena and Malka, that since there's no Avir going through, you can feel like you're covered?
Oh, so the Meir uses a terminology that? Like that? Check it out. Okay? Very good. Good idea. Okay, let's turn to question C. Question C. Why doesn't wideness help, right? We understand A was what is sheltered by Anna mean. Pretty much everybody said that, like, you'll immediately be aware of it. Maybe a weird revive, but let's ignore that. Okay? Great. You'll be immediately aware of it. Question B, how does the fact that the walls reach the stock help? So we saw two basic approaches. There's the Rashi approach, which is that your eyes will wander up. There's the Ra'ah approach, which will realize from circumstantial evidence that you're under a stock. Okay, that's B. Now C is, why doesn't it help when you make it wide, right? This is a little bit more deep. The Gemara basically says that Rav Huna aligns with Rav Zeira, and only Rav Zeira. And I understand why Rav Huna does not align with Rava. That's simple. But why doesn't he align with Rava? So Rashi and Tosfos both tell us he just doesn't. They don't really explain too much why. But here's the catch. To how we're understanding things so far, that it's about immediately noticing it, or let's say your eyes will follow things up, why is it true that you won't immediately notice something which is very wide, even if it's over 20 amos tall? Let's go back to my sky example. I'm walking in the street, I can see the sky in front of me. It's so high up, it's over 20 amos, but it's so far away that I'll see it. Let's say I had a sky like Schach. I had a massive sukkah. You go to one of these simple spaces, I'm sure you guys will get an experience. If you didn't last year, you'll experience it this year. Somewhere in Meir Sharm, you go to a huge sukkah. Tons of people in there, all beautiful, exciting. And it's so big that even though it's over 20 amos tall, you can for sure see the sukkah since it's so wide. Why doesn't the fact of wideness help solve the issue of Sholta Ba'ena to how we're understanding it? But you'll see it. Think how easily you can see the sky when you walk in the street. I'll give you an example. Another day, I was on the roof. Whatever, not like literally on the roof. Like, you know, on the porch thing. I was walking out there, I was speaking to somebody. And my wife was coming with my daughter at a great distance, all the way down the road, you know, by the gate. And she saw me, and my daughter even saw me. They both spotted me. I was over 20 almost tall. The wall didn't reach me because there was like another area and then another wall. And yet they saw me. How'd that happen? Well, because they were far away. And they were able to spot me. It's not that hard. So according to how we're understanding Sholta Ba'ena, realize there's a block. This question C is hard. If we're understanding Sholta Ba'ena right, in light of your eyes wandering, it just doesn't really fit so well. I understand Rashi and Tosfos say, yeah, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? It should really align, Rav Huna that is, should align with Rava too. They say it doesn't, but why not? So now if you look closely, at Rashi. Rashi might be trying to defend. Now, my Gemara and your Gemara is also say to take it out. Take this word porta out. They say, ain't no move on. This word porta doesn't make sense. But they don't tell you that it wasn't in Rashi. It's not like they say, oh, we found an old manuscript and it wasn't in Rashi. They say it doesn't make sense. Well, I think it makes a lot of sense, personally. Rashi says like this. Why, in Divrei Maskil Mishum Sil, he's explaining why Rav Huna does not align with Rabbah. He says, "Di'im Mishum Mishlat Eina," because if you want to say, oh, because now your eye will rule over it, but Fe'mi Dalet Amos Porta, by a little bit beyond 4 Amos, Lo Shalta Ba'Eina. A little bit beyond that boundary of 4 by 4 Amos won't enable your eye to see. What's Rashi hinting to, guys, here? Let me speak to that. What's Rashi hinting to? I believe the following. If you take this word porta seriously, Rashi's saying, I know that at a great distance away, your eye will see the schach. I know that that's true. But if you only move an inch more, that straw that breaks the camel's back won't break this camel's back. If you just move an inch more in either direction to make it a little bit wider, will you be able to see it? No. Maybe if you go 10 amos, 100 amos, then you'll be able to see the ceiling easily. But just moving an inch won't enable you to see 20 amos. But in terms of sail, even a little bit more of wideness will enable just a tiny bit of sail to come down and hit you. So therefore, the Gemara aligns Rav Huna's simple meaning with Rav Zeira, because he's probably referring to sail, because even if you go beyond the drop of wideness, then that will enable some degree of sail to come down and hit you, or protect you, and therefore it's aligned with Rav Zeira. What comes out of that Rashi then? Something crazy. You should all stone me. Okay, that also is true, but that's not that crazy, because Tosa says it. What's crazier? Go for it, Elliot.
Rava, you can make it really, really wide.
Yes! Rava could align with Rav Huna. Just not only by an inch. But if you make it really wide, let's say you go 100 amos by 100 amos, you got a great sukkah, then even Rava will say it's kosher according to the Chachamim. Because it's only a little bit that it doesn't give you shulta ba'ena. But apparently at a great distance...
That's not the point, but there's a low plug. Where it would work.
Maybe it's a low plug, but why would that be true? In the same way these other ones weren't low plugs, as long as the walls reach the thing, I mean, like, what does a low plug even mean? Okay. It's like generally a tekana.
This isn't the point where it would work, but there is a point.
It sounds like it, right? It sounds like, oh, because Rav Huna sounds like if you just adjust it a little bit, it won't help. But if you adjust a lot, this word porta, what do you mean anal move on? It makes a lot of sense. You exactly hear what Rashi's doing. Rashi's coming to answer question C. Rashi's showing us that Rabba could fit Rav Huna. And that would mean something crazy. That's the Chiddush Ali just told us. Well, halacha, Rava would say, as long as you have 100 amos by 100 amos and 25 amos, even if the walls don't reach the schach, your eye will see it.
You don't know. There's no way to figure out, though. Maybe we don't know what the shear is.
Right, so maybe you don't know, but let's say it's obvious. Let's say it's massive. Right, okay, you're right, Rafi. Maybe I wouldn't paskin off of it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a huge Chiddush. We'll see that it might not still be true, but it could be that what Rashi's dealing with. What's the dochek in this? What's the dochek in Rashi? The Gemara certainly doesn't sound right. That's pretty clear. The stochic is easy. The weakness here is easy. If this is really what Rashi's doing, I understand he's solving question C. But the Gemara sounds like it aligns only with Rav Zeira and only Rav Zeira. It doesn't say that, oh, at some point Rabba will agree. Gemara could have told us that. So you can fit it in if you force it. But overall, I want to highlight now one weakness or the other. You're going to have to pick your poison. Either it doesn't really make sense to us, according to our understanding of Mishloach Ba'ena, why over here there's no Mishloach Ba'ena. It's really wide. I can see it. What do you mean I can't see it? I won't naturally see it. I won't see it immediately. Yeah, I will. I walk in the street. I see the sky. It's not like I have to do a chiddush. And I have to like go like this in order to see the sky. I saw the sky. So same thing. It's really wide. I see this roof. So it doesn't really work with Netzias. Or pick your poison, go with Rashi and say, oh, it would work with Netzias. Then you have to come up with this huge chiddush from the Gemara and say that at a certain point, indeed, Rabba would say it's kosher. So there's one weakness or the other. That's weakness number one. I want to turn to weakness number two in the Gemara. Number two. Oh, and by the way, you should know, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, check it out, is almost explicitly, I think, going against this word of porta. Look at Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz over here. He pretty much says, don't try to tell me that if you just extend it a little bit, and that's what Rabba means, like that. No, it still doesn't work. He doesn't tell us why it makes sense, though, but he basically deflects this potential defense of Rashi. Okay? Let's turn to another weakness that arises from the Gemara. Number two. The Metzias overall seems pretty weak. With this explanation, let's turn back to the Rifas Taina on Rashi. That Shulta Ba'ena means that, like, oh, your eyes will actually immediately see it. Why do walls help? Oh, because your eyes naturally climb up walls. I don't really buy that much either. It doesn't really seem to be true Metzias. So weakness number one is that in Metzias, it doesn't make sense in terms of the fact that if it's wider, I should see it. Weakness number two is the first part of the Gemara here. Is it really true that if my eyes are going to wander off walls? The Ritva didn't think so. Maybe Rosh thinks so. Maybe you can give some sort of defense. Oh, there's sukkah decorations. I don't believe it. I mean, I believe it because they said it. But I'm saying, like, if you had asked me on my own, I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have said it. Do my eyes really wander up walls? You guys, look at that little coffee room. It's not true when Metzias. That's a second weakness in this overall understanding we've developed so far from all these Rishonim in the sugya. And a third weakness. Did it bother you guys that the wording of the Gemara doesn't sound at all like this? Lo mishlat ba'ena. Your eye doesn't dominate over it, doesn't rule over it. You mean I won't see it immediately? It's like my eye not dominate over it. If I say it immediately, my eye dominates over it. It's a weird way of saying it. Why not just say your eye sees it or your eye doesn't see it? What does it mean your eye doesn't dominate it? What does that mean, rule? To be a sholeit, is to rule over something. You say somebody's just like sholeit over Arba Siddharim. Somebody like knows four Siddharim. He like walks like a colossus through those four Siddharim of Shas. You know, somebody really like a Talmud Chacham. Like, your eye rules over it? Why not just say your eye sees it immediately or your eye doesn't see it immediately? The Gemara, the language of the Gemara is interesting. I'm not saying this is a bomb question. I wouldn't have died from it, and look, Rashi and friend didn't. Right? It's not like, oh, wow, what a good question. But it's like, the language of the Gemara is a little bit weird. Why use this strange terminology? That's weakness number three over everything we've said so far. I want to suggest my own pshat. As to understand what Mishle Ba'ena is, I want to sew it into the Gemara and show you how beautifully it fits with almost everything, then point out the flaws, and try to hang this on a Rishon we haven't yet discussed.
What are the flaws in the Ritva?
The flaws in the Ritva?
Yeah.
I guess the other two. I mean, the middle one doesn't apply to him, but the fact that in terms of the Metzias, like, why doesn't it Rav align with Rav Huna? If you make it really long,
you should say it's...
No, if it's over...
Eyes.
No, but the Ritva...
That's the feeling you're in it, so you may not feel even though it's high.
No, but you will see it. I mean, if you see it... But the Ritva agrees that if you see it, then that's for sure good. Ritva is saying you don't need it.
Who says that?
I think it's clear. I think the Ritva's whole point...
I don't know if that's
you can see it. I thought it was posh, but the Ritva's whole point is that you don't need to see it because, of course, your eyes will wander up. But let's say I see it. Of course, if I see it, then it's good. The whole idea was that if I see it. Under 20 amos is good because I see it, not because I feel it.
You feel it under 20 amos.
No, because I see it. Not because I feel it. If there's no walls, Rafi, if there's no walls, I feel it. I see it. That, yeah. I think it's clear. I wouldn't try to go that.
Probably.
Okay, so the Ritva also has its flaws. You guys ready? You guys ready? I'm losing my voice here, but are you ready? Here's where it comes. Let's start with the language of Mishle Ba'ena. And try to just say, literally reading the words, what could that mean? Your eye doesn't dominate over it. It doesn't rule over it. What does that mean? It sounds like there are degrees in how well you can see something. Ready? There are degrees in how well you can see something. If you can see something really, really well, that's called your eye dominating over it. If you can't see something clearly, your eye doesn't dominate it. You might be able to see it. It might be in your line of vision, but can you tell me every detail? Let's turn back to our question about the Metzias. If somebody is 1,000 feet away from you, can you see that person? Yes. Does your eye dominate over him? Can you make out his every feature? If he holds up a number of fingers, can you tell? If it's 1,000 feet, probably not. 5 feet, maybe. But 1,000 feet? No way. Your eye doesn't dominate over things that are far away. Turning it to 20 amos tall. Maybe Rabbi's Laman Yedu doesn't mean that I won't notice it immediately, but rather maybe that I won't focus on it, which fits well with the pasuk. Remember, you have to remember, you have to realize, you have to be cognizant of the sukkah. You'll be focused on the sukkah. If you see something well, you focus on it. Everything within your vision, you notice. Somebody's running at you from like 100 feet away, you won't notice it. As soon as he gets within a certain point, like suddenly you're aware of him, you're focused on him more. Something right in front of you, you can focus on. Mishlat ba'ena. And fitting with Rabba's language of Laman Yehidu, the whole idea is to focus on the sukkah, to know that it's there, to have that comprehension. Things that are beyond, and here's where I'm going to draw a line. Obviously, you have to draw a line somewhere. Everything in halacha has a line, right? Toch kedei dibur. Why do we view that as a halachic moment, right? They were to say a few words. Because you could have broken up by seconds or milliseconds or nanoseconds, or you could have broken up by minutes or hours. We break up time based off of toch kedei dibur. That's how it works. You have to draw a line somewhere. Similarly, in terms of your vision. Oh, what's the difference between an inch under 20 amos or an inch over 20 amos? Guess what? We drew a line. Up until 20 amos, your eye is mishlat ba'ena. It dominates that which it can see. Very clearly, it's able to see things, perceive things. If it's over 20 amos, already it's a bit more fuzzy. And obviously, when I say over 20 amos, I also mean at the angle from your eye's level, at 4 amos or at 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, up looking at the 20 amos, right? So it's not exactly 20 amos. What I mean is whatever height you are, where your eyes are, up until that height at an angle, so it's a little bit longer. But I'm just going to call it 20 amos without getting into the math, okay? But the point being that your eye doesn't dominate over things that are beyond 20 amos. Okay, so now let's explain how this solves the three weaknesses we alluded to before having to recognize its own weaknesses. And it fits like a glove. The language is beautiful. That was weakness number three. The language is exactly what the language sounds like. Your eye doesn't dominate as opposed to dominating. It's weaker at a certain point. It's not as able to, you know, clearly perceive. That makes a lot of sense. That fits the language beautifully. What about weakness number two? In terms of the Metzias, why is it true that Rabbah doesn't align with Rav Huna? We had trouble according to Rashi and friends. Right? I do see the sky. I do see it. I see things that are far away. I immediately see it. I would notice Slach if it was 1,000 feet away from me and it was over 25 almost, 30 almost tall. I would still notice it if it was 1,000 feet away. But would you see it clearly? Would you focus on it? No, that's way too far away. There's only a certain range within height, width. There's only a certain range where you can clearly dominate over something with your eyes. You can only see it so clearly within a certain degree of closeness. Now, that solves weakness number two. What about weakness number one? The fact that, you know, the Gemara had... Oh, I guess I went out of order. That was what we called officially weakness number one. Whatever. The other weakness, the final weakness. How does the fact the walls reach the schach help you? That's a little iffy. That I understand. How are the walls reaching the schach helping you here? How does that make sense to Matthias? I get Chuck Rashi's Matthias. You don't follow up the walls. That much I understand. But how does mine help? That the fact that your eyes will dominate over it. How does that help? I'm in trouble here. Let's back up for a second. And I'll grab some reinforcements. The Remiel O'Neill. Another Rishon. The Remiel O'Neill. One second. Rabbi Yonah's son from Luniel. Luniel was a city in France. And it was a wonderful center of Torah about 800 years ago. Now,
great time on the land here.
The Remiel O'Neill says as follows. You guys tell me if you understand his Metzias. Why is a sukkah over 20 amos bad if the walls don't reach the stock, according to Rabbah? V'kevan sha'avir yesh bein ha'defanos. Since there is air between the walls, the ha'stach, and the stach, ha'avir mazik le'inayim. The air will hurt your eyes. And that's why you can't see the stuff. So if it's over 20 amos tall and the walls don't reach the top, then the air will hurt your eyes. However, later, skipping a little.
You can't dominate.
But he says...
many sensors like coming.
Yeah. Right, because that... She'ein ha'ayin sholifa me rov gava mevnei ha'avir ha'mapsik me'en tefanos v'asicha. And the reason why your eyes won't be able to see the ceiling, therefore, won't see the stuff, is because the... air separates between them. And you're thinking like, okay, your Metzias is the weirdest of all of them. What are you talking about? Air does not hurt your eyes. I don't know what you're saying. Right? Why can't I see something that's over 20 amos tall? And like, either way, isn't the air in my eyes anyhow? Why isn't it hurting me? Oh, the air that comes up from that height is hurting my eyes? What is he talking about? Like, did he live on Mars? Right? Clearly not. He's obviously alluding to something with slightly coded words. And then later on he explains that as long as the walls go up to the sky... He says, I just want to find the wording because I don't want you to believe that I'm making this up. Okay, I thought he said it explicitly. I can't find it this moment. At the very least, the diak from his words that if there were walls there, right, the diak that arrives from his words, I think he says them at first. I just didn't say it right now. I don't want to spend all the time looking for it. But the diak, at least, that arrives from his words, if there were walls there, then that would protect you from the avir, which would hurt your eyes. And that would explain why Rabbah thinks that as long as the walls reach the ceiling, now it will protect you from this avir. Okay, great. So he's now explaining this Metzias in some way which nobody else said. I have no idea what he's talking about. But I think you can use him to explain like me. I believe the Remiel O'Neill means like this. air doesn't hurt your eyes. But it would seem that it does weaken your vision. And that would mean that the reason why something beyond 20 amos high would not be so clear in your eyes is when you stand outside and wind blowing into your eyes, or you could also say sunlight, but I don't want to use sunlight because he's talking about the wind, right? But the wind, the open air in your face, and this I know to be true. Sometimes it's very hard, you know, when it's windy, you're riding a bike or you're on a boat or something, the wind rushing in your eyes, if there's wind hitting you in the face, it makes your vision more blurry. It's harder to see. And therefore, you can't have your ayin be sholeit, that was his language, off the Gemara's language, over the stuff. But if there was a wall protecting you, i.e. you're indoors, there's no such thing. There's no air coming and blurring your vision. And therefore, your vision is more clear. So to ask, how do I deal with the Metzius of the Gemara? I'll use the Rimei L'Oniel. This is what he means. I'll say this is what he means, because the only way it makes sense to me. What the Rimei L'Oniel must mean is that ayin sholeit ba means that you have to see something clearly. You do not see it clearly outside when there's no walls because the wind will weaken your vision if it's over 20 amos. Under 20 amos, you can still see things clearly even with the wind. But if you're indoors, there's a wall blocking you all the way up to the stock, it will protect your eyes of sight. You can look up and see things very clearly. That, I think, solves the third weakness. The Gemara fits like a glove. I got a Rishon behind me and the Rimei L'Oniel. I think this could be a shot in the Gemara. Let me point out one downside, and with that I'll end. One other downside with this shot. One other downside. I think that downside is successfully solved. I think that's what the Rimei L'Oniel must mean. I think it makes a lot of sense. I told you, I think that this makes a lot of sense overall. I think it's a beautiful shot. You don't have to like it. But let me give you one more downside, though, which this downside, I think, is more significant. I don't have a great escape from it. The downside also is that, wait a second. If it's all about your eye dominating it, that I'm saying is correct, there should still be some upper limit. Great. Okay, you're indoors now. The wall is protecting you. Okay? The wall is protecting you. Wall is protecting you. Your eyes can see so clearly. But forever? Certainly, at some point, you can't see clearly anymore. If the, let's say that stock is 100 amos high, 200 amos high. At some point, that's got to be the equivalent of standing outside with wind in your face, that your vision is a little bit blurred. You can't see something that clearly. I know that 1,000 feet away, I can't see my friend how many fingers, one or two, they're holding up. And therefore, according to me, what must come out is that, according to Rabbah, even if the walls reach the stock, just in terms of plain metzias, it must be that at some point, lo mishlit ba'ena. Let's say it's 1,000 amos tall. We'll call it 1,000 amos. At 1,000 amos tall, that's 2,000 feet in the air. There's no way my eye dominates over it any worse. I know, I'm about to end. That there's no way my eye dominates over it any worse than if it's something like 21 amos tall and I'm just outside. I just can't see clearly when it's 1,000 amos away. So according to me, Rob would have to have some upper limit. And the downside is that the Gemara does not mention that at all. Now, I'm willing to say, that's okay. That's okay. I'm willing to take that because you know who else did something similar? Tosfos. The Gemara never mentioned anything about a ratio. It just says it's totally fine beyond 4x4 amos. And that's not true according to Tosfos. There's some limit that you have to keep within even beyond that. So I'll say the same thing within Rabbah. What Tosfos did to Rav Huna, I'll do within Rav Yoshia. The Rimei L'Oniel. The Rimei L'Oniel would do within Rav Yoshia. He would say that, yeah, in Achanami, the Gemara says, as long as the walls reach the slach, it's good. But that's not really totally true. At some point, I don't know how high, at a really high height, that's not going to be true. To summarize, overall, Pshatim, three questions we had in the Gemara. What does Mishlit Ba'ena mean? Well, almost everyone says that you'll immediately be aware of it. Rebab may be thinking that you'll constantly be aware of it. And I think, and the Rimei L'Oniel might think, that no. It means that you don't see it clearly, as the language of Mishlit Ba'ena implies. You don't dominate over it with your vision. That answers question one, right? Two ways of looking at it. Next question overall we had in the Gemara. What does it mean that the walls will help you, that it's going to protect and somehow make it be a Mishlit Ba'ena? According to Rashi, your eyes wander up the wall. The Ritva didn't like that in Metzias so much, the Ra'ah didn't like it, and they rejected it. And they said, no, not that your eyes wander up, but rather from the circumstantial evidence around it, you'll be aware of the fact that you're in a sukkah. And I would say, like the Rimei L'Oniel does say, is that no, because the walls protect you and enable your vision to still be not blurry, to still be sharp, because the walls will prevent this air from blowing in your face, which will weaken your vision. And finally, the third question of the Gemara, the third one, C. How come Rabbah doesn't fit with Rav Huna? It's a little hard. According to Rashi, we're going to have to say one of two weaknesses. Either that's just the Metzias, apparently. I don't know. You don't follow it up. You can't see it when it's far away. Why not? I don't know. It's hard to understand why. Rashi tells us to say it doesn't. If you want to read deeply into Rashi, you could take that word porta seriously, but you're going to walk out with a massive chiddush in the Gemara. Or if you read like me in the Remiel O'Neill, well then, it's easy! Because you can't see clearly when it's so far away. So you made it wider, great, but you're helping yourself has hurt yourself. Even though it's more within my range of vision in terms of height, it's less within my range of vision within width. And therefore, it's clear why Rabba doesn't align with Rav Huna. Thank you guys for listening to me. We finished exactly at 11. Shkoyach.